Everybody. Okay. So yesterday we started discussing the issue of making up Tashlomen for Kriyas HaTorah. The Ramah in the first Sif in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, that's in the second Chelek of the Mishnah Berurah, Ramah in the first Sif quotes this story from the Sefer Or Zeruah. Or Zeruah, I think, was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutmerg. And the Or Zeruah was the Talmud of Rabbi Yudis Leon, I think. The end of the Tkufa, the Balei HaTosfos. So the Or Zeruah quotes a story that once on Shabbos, the Balabatim daven Shachris and Shul, and then there was some kind of a machloikis, and they couldn't resolve the machloikis, so they never got to learn Kriyas HaTorah. And the whole day they wasted with the machloikis, and they missed Kriyas HaTorah. So the Shaila was brought up, what should they do next week? Did they just skip this week's parsha, or should you make Tashlumin? So the Or Zeruah quotes the Psak from one of the Balei HaTosfos, that just like sometimes you have Mechubarim, Elaine Matas Masse together, Elaine Harbuchukos, Elaine Nitzav Mayelach together. So Elaine, the two sedras, he make Tashlumen. So the question is, how far do you go with this Tashlumen? Let's say we missed 20 sedras. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Chuba from the Maharam Mintz, and the recent Boskim wrote the recent essays on the topic. The last couple months, they write that Maharam Mintz obviously didn't have the original Sefer Or Zeruah. He only had what was quoted briefly from the Or Zeruah in the Sefer Aguda on Megillah. So if you look in the original Or Zeruah, he writes that Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana that we should finish all the Kriyas HaTorah, all the Parshios on Shabbosim, on the Shabbosim of the year. So it sounds like if you miss 20 sedras in a row, say make tashlumen, lay in all the 20 sedras, make sure that you lay in all the sedras. Because the Maharam Mintz didn't have the Or Zeruah, and he only had the abridged version as is quoted in the Aguda, so he misunderstood the Or Zeruah as saying, now, just like once in a while you're laying two sedras, you're laying matas masa, you're laying yitzom mayelach. So if you missed the vayikra, now is Shabbos Parsha Tzav, so make mechubarim vayikra and tzav. But because you never have mechubarim b'chukosai in b'midbar, you don't have two mechubarim from two different chumashim, and you never have three sedras mechubarim, so that's a tichad l'tzibur, so you don't have to make up, if you miss 20 sedras, you don't have to make up all of the 20 sedras, you just make Tashlumen for one, and if the one that you missed is in a different chumash, missed b'chukaisa, and this Shabbos is b'midbar, so then you don't make mechubarim from two different chumashim. And let's say you missed kisavai, and this week is nitzav v'yelach. So if you learn kisavai, then you'll have three sedras. So you never learn three sedras, so you don't make any tashlumen. Or let's say you missed. For some reason or another, you missed Nitzav Vayelach. You missed Nitzav Vayelach, so you'll want to make Tashlumen next week on Parshas Hazinu, next time on Shabbos Shuvah. You want to make Tashlumen on Shabbos Parshas Hazinu, so you can't lay three sedras, so at least lay together Vayelach and Hazinu. So he says, no, you don't do that. You don't make it Tikkun Lachatzoin. These ideas were all invented by the Maharam Mintz based on his understanding of the Or Zeruah as was quoted in the Aguda. But the truth of the matter is the pashtus of the Or Zeruah was that you have to make tashlumen on everything. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham didn't have the Or Zeruah either, so the Magen Avraham had the Maharam Mintz's tshuva, which is based on the Aguda, and he has these limitations. You never lay in more than two sedras, and you don't lay from two different chumashim, and you don't make a tashlum and lachatzim, you don't make a tikkun lachatzim, so you've chiseled down the whole thing very much. But if you look on the original Zeruah, it doesn't sound like that. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Vilna Gaon once missed a few sedras, and they laned all the sedras for him. I think the government put him in prison for something. And Chazanish also once missed a few weeks in a row, missed a few seder, said he convinced a few people, friends of his, that they should be patient, and on Shabbos they laned a few sedras in a row. So that's what the Pashtus and yeshivas, in yeshivas, especially Yeshiva University, was a combination of two different yeshivas, Yeshivas Eitz Chaim. There were two yeshivas on the Lower East Side. One was Yeshivas Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim was named after Valojin. And one was Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ohana. That was the year after Rabbi Yitzchak Ohana died in the late 1880s or something. So they founded the other yeshiva, and then the two yeshivas combined together. So Eitz Chaim carried on the tradition. It was a Lithuanian yeshiva. Eitz Chaim was named after Valojin. So they carried on the traditions from Valojin. Valojin was founded by the Rav Chaim Valojin, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So we have a lot of traditions in YU that come from Valojin. Nusach HaTfila and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we don't say Machnisa HaRachmim, and you don't say Oysa HaShalom, say HaBaruch HaSam Yisrael BaShalom, because of the grow, certain pedis when they grow. The learning is also a little different. Most of the yeshivas in America, Torah V'Das, and Yankif Torah V'Das, and Lakewood in Baltimore, were all following in the traditions of Slabodka. Because Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky and Rabbi Baron Kotler and Rabbi Rudiman all learned in Slabodka. So Slabodka, the Shia was on the seven Masechtas, Baba Kama, Baba Mitzir, Baba Basra, three from the Zikin, and the four from Noshim, Yivam, Sing, Suvis, and Gitmi Kedushim. So the Shia was always on the Limud. There was Limud Be'iyun and Limud Be'bikiyas in Slabodka. So Limud Be'iyun was those seven Masechtas, Noshim, and Zikin. Limud Be'bikiyas, the students did on their own. The second Seder, the third Seder. In Valojin, they never had such a chilek. In Valojin, they learned from the beginning of Brachas till the end of Nida. And even single people also learned Nida. In Hasidic Yeshivas, a single person should learn Nida, unheard of. They wouldn't learn the Sugya Pesach Pasuach and Ksuva Sida. They would skip that. In the Miri Yeshiva in Yerushalayim also, when they learned Pesach Pasuach, all the Hasidic boys don't attend for 2 days till they finished the whole sugya, then they come back. In Valojin, they learned everything. They went straight. And they gave shurim on everything. You have the sefer, the three volumes, Merayim Esoda, the shurim that the Netziv gave when he was Rosh Yeshiva in Valojin. So they have shurim on everything, from Brachas through Nida. And there is no difference between Iyun and Bikiyas. They learned everything at a decent pace, like here in the yeshiva, I remember, in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. He would cover approximately 40 blot a year. Then in the afternoon, we would learn in the afternoon Seder, 40, 45 blot in the afternoon Seder. Then in the night Seder, we would learn another 40, 45 blot in the night Seder, the same speed, the same pace, everything. You don't go too slowly, you don't go too quickly. You go too quickly, it just goes in one ear and out the other. You go too slowly, you're not learning anything. It's just a waste of time, it's just philosophizing. You have to cover ground and with a bit of understanding. So there are a lot of traditions here in YU from the Vilna Gaon. So the Pashtus is that we should do it like the Vilna Gaon, like the Chazanish and Yeshiva. They should do it. They should make Tashlumen for everything. Shalom was, how do you do all the Tashlumen? So I mentioned yesterday what happened was that they gave the seven aliyas in Yitzav Mayelach, and then they called up somebody from Aftir. Instead of staying over the last section in Vayelech, we did like we do on Yontif. The meaning on the Medina the Gemara Yontif, you give five aliyahs and then you have Maftir. So the Gemara had a machlegis, but the Maftir is Ola Leminyan Akruim. Maftir is not Ola Leminyan Akruim. Means you give five aliyahs plus a sixth aliyah. And the Oyla Latera, the sixth Aliyah, is the one who says, Amafta Banavitzar Shikha Batera Tchila. He lanes a little bit from the Sedra. Or do you say that the Maftar is Oyla Laminyan Akruim? Some totally all you need are five Aliyahs on Yom Kippur, six Aliyahs on Yom Kippur, seven Aliyahs on Shabbos. So we follow the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam had a machlegzit for the Rabbeinu Meshulam. What's the Psak Lamaskana, Aloha Lamaisa? Whether the maftir is Oyla Laminyan Akruim, not Oyla Laminyan Akruim. So he says, Rabbeinu Tam says, from the fact that on a Tainus Sibur we give three aliyahs, we don't give a fourth aliyah, the one who's going to say the maftir. So that indicates that the maftir mikra din is Oyla Laminyan Akruim. on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, the Rabbeinu argues, since the Gemara, since the way he understood the Mishnah and Megillah, he had permitted to make Kosafos on Shabbos, Yom Tov, or Yom Kippur. So the Rabbeinu Tam says the minhag developed that we make 5 aliyahs plus mafter, 6 aliyahs plus mafter on Yom Kippur, 7 aliyahs plus mafter, to satisfy the other opinion that we don't accept la halacha. Because you're allowed to make kosafos on, satisfy one of the yotzei de kol hashitas. But if for some reason or another, he can't make kosafos, and he gave a reason why. For quite a while, in a lot of shuls, they weren't dividing the 7 aliyahs on Shabbos among 7 different people because they were afraid that one person would transmit the virus to other people. So they had one person get all the 7 aliyahs. So it doesn't make sense to make kosafos. The whole idea of making kosafos is you want to spread the wealth, give more people a schus to get an aliyah. But one person already got 7 aliyahs. Why should he make kosafos to give him 8 aliyahs instead of 7? It's enough that he got 7 aliyahs. So then, if it's the same person getting all the 7 aliyahs, it doesn't make sense that you should give him an 8th aliyah. So the 7th aliyah, Shvi, will be the mafter, and it'll say the haftarah. And in that case, when the Shvi is the mafter, then the Magen Avraham says, and that's how we pass in la halacha, Magen Avraham says in such a case that you don't say Chatzi Kaddish in between, at the end of the Kriyas HaTorah, in the 7 aliyahs and the Haftarah, because the Gemara's Lashon is Hamafta Banavi, so Shikha Batarah Tchila. What I mean, Tchila means immediately before he says the Haftarah from the Navi, he should read from the Sefer Torah. So if you're going to say a Chatzi Kaddish to be Mafzik in between the Kriya of the Maftir and the Haftarah from the Navi, that's not immediately before, that's a Hafsoka. What do you do on a Tani Sibur? Tani Sibur, you give 3 aliyahs. You don't say Chatzi Kaddish in between the 3rd aliyah and the haftarah, because then it'll be a hafsaka. Hamapta b'navi tzorch shik b'tarah tchila. Immediately before he says the haftarah from the navi, he has to lay in his aliyah from the sefer Torah. So if the same person is getting all the 7 aliyahs, it does make sense to make a hisafa. You're not spreading the wealth. Well, it does make sense to get 8 aliyahs. See, only 7 aliyahs, and then the 7th aliyah that the same person got, he will say the haftarah, and then you don't say chatzi kaddish in between the 7th aliyah and the haftarah, but then you say the chatzi kaddish after he finishes the bichas haftarah. So that's what many shuls were doing for a long time. So we just pointed out yesterday, I'll review part of it again, it could be that part of what the Maharam Mintz said could be part of what he said is correct for a different reason. Let's say that you don't make, if you miss b'chu kosai, and this Shabbos is Bamidbar, so the Maharam Mintz understood that you lay mechubarim, but you never lay 3 mechubarim, and you never lay mechubarim from 2 different chumashim. So he says you can't lay bechukosei in Bamidbar, you can't be mechaber bechukosei 2 different chumashim. It doesn't make any sense. So this was all based on his understanding because he didn't have the original Lo'ez HaRuah. But once you have the original Lo'ez HaRuah, you see that it's not the way he misunderstood from the Sefer Aguda on Megillah. You should really make up all tashlumin on everything. But what about from one chumash to the other? Does that make sense or not? So that could be that he's right mitam acher. It could be that that's called kriya shaloi kechsova. The din is you have to learn kriya satara has to be kechsova. Let's say this week is we're learning ha'azinim. So the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the end of Masechus Rosh Hashanah, and it's a din in Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Chelek Dalet in Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Dalet is usually from all the 6 volumes, that's the one that's untouched by human hands. That's all of Hilchas Ervin. So people usually don't even look anything over there. So the last few pages in Chelek Dalet in the Mishnah Berurah have a couple of dinim about Rosh Chodesh and about Kriyas HaTorah all year long, a couple of odds about Torah. It says there that when you the Gemara need of Rosh Hashanah, when you lay in Hazinu in the Beis HaKnesses on Shabbos Parshas Hazinu, you shouldn't make any hoisofas. You're not allowed to make any hoisofas. You have to lay in Hazinu with the Rosh Tevis of Haziblach, Hey Zayin Yud Vav Lamitchav Hazinu Zechari Ma'aselam Yarkivei Avayar Hashem Ayinatz and so on. Because Hazinu is a poem, and if you're going to stop, if you're going to just get laying 3 psukim and make oisofes, then you kill the whole poem. If you recite a poem or you read a poem, you stop in the wrong place, so you ruin the whole kavana of the poem. So hazina has to be broken down the way they broke it down in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Ramah in the end of Chelek Dalet in Orech Chaim writes that's only on Shabbos Parshas Hazinu. When you're going to learn the whole Shira Hazinu, then you divide it according to the Rosh Tevis Hazivloch. But on Sheni V'Chamishi or on Shabbos, last Shabbos Tzav Ma'yelach, Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, you're not going to learn the whole Hazinu. So then the minig is, the Ramah writes, the minig is that you don't learn Hazivloch the first Hazino, the first section consists, I think, of six psukim. I forgot already. I think it has six psukim. So you divide that into two aliyahs. So you only lay till Shlishi. You don't lay till Revi. And Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from, he was brought up in a Lubavitcher village, in Chaslavitch, was a Lubavitcher village. So the minig was, minig Lubavitch is to follow that opinion in Achreinim. Shorik Nesagdola quotes this practice, that you makbid on Hazivloch, the Havsok is not only on Shabbos Hazinu, even on Monday and Thursday, and even on last Shabbos in the afternoon. So you give three aliyahs on Shabbos afternoon, Shalim Chamishi, the three aliyahs end in Revi, you lay in half of the Sedra. So he explained why. He said it could be that this is a din deraisa Hazivloch. Why? Because the Halacha says there's a stir between two Gemaras. One Gemara has Gemara Megillah has a statement called Psuka Deloy Paskin Moshe Anan Loy Paskinu. You can't stop or start an aliyah in the middle of a pasuk. But then there's a Gemara in Brachas that says called Parsha Deloy Paskin Moshe Anan Loy Paskinu. The Gemara in Megillah that says called Psuka Deloy Paskin Moshe is talking about Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara is talking about the Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh. How do you squeeze in four aliyahs? You can't start within three psukim after psucha stuv. You can't end an aliyah within three psukim before a psucha or a stuma. And then you can't lay in half a pasuk. So how do you give four aliyahs in the Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara says, part of the problem is, called psucha de le paskem osha non le paskem. You can't lay in half a pasuk. So this is in contradiction to the Gemara in Brachas, but the Gemara says, we recite Shema b'hayam Shema, shachris amayram, then we recite Vayomer. Why do we recite Vayomer? What is that? It doesn't say B'shach B'chav Kumecha there. We recite Vayomer not so much because of the mitzvah of tzitzis, but rather because of the concluding pasuk, Ani Hashem Lakechem, Asher Hotzeis Yerzchem Yeretz Mitzrayim. Because the pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, L'man Tizka, Asher Hotzeis Chem Yeretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha, and we darshin in the Haggadah, Yimei Chayecha Hayamim, Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelos. So you have to mention Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim. Zechiras means to mention, B'kitzah. On Pesach night, there's a mitzvah of Sipur. Sipur means to give barichas, to tell Esamakis and to tell the Rosh of the Psukim. We recite Arami Aviravi, Kari Pashas Bikurim, Dorish Kala Parsha Kula. We read the Psukim and Pashas Bikurim, Arami Aviravi, and we give a running commentary from the Torah Shaval Peh. So that's on Pesach night only. There's a mitzvah of Haggadah, Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. But every night, there's no mitzvah of Sipur. Haggadah is just a mitzvah of Zechira to mention. So we yaitze by reciting the parshas Vayomer because it contains the last pasuk on Hashem Elokechem, Asher Hotzeis Yerzchem Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says in Brachas, in the first parak, Bikshu Lekvoya, they wanted really to have a fancier, flowery pasuk, Kel Malatziyam Mitzrayim Kisofas Re'em Lo, that's in the middle of Nebuah's Bilom in Parshas Bolok. So that's fancier than Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeis Yerzchem Eretz Mitzrayim. However, the Gemara says if they would have instituted that you recite that pasuk for the purpose of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, then there would be a big Tirchad Tzibur because you would have to say the whole Nebuas Bilam from the beginning to the end because there's a din called Parsha de la Paskin, Marsha Nan la Paskin. A Parsha doesn't mean Parsha Sashavua. Parsha means from a Psucha to a Stuma, from a Stuma to a Stuma, and so on, a paragraph. So Nebuah's Bilam goes on and on and goes on forever. So if you're only interested in saying that one pasuk, Kel Motziyam Mitzrayim Kisofos Reim Lo, you would have to have Parshas Yetzias Mitzrayim Vayomer. Is a short half a page in the Siddur. If you're going to say the whole Nebuah's Bilam is going to be a few pages long, it's going to take much more time. So Mishum Tircha Did Tzibura, so they didn't institute that pasuk Kel Motziyam Mitzrayim. So the Magen Avraham and the other Neshagas Aryeh, the Mefarsh bother with this contradiction between the two Gemaras. On the one hand, the Gemara Megillah says that only there's a din called Psukah de la Paskama, she not a lot of language, a very half a pasuk. While the Gemara Brachah says called Parsha de la Paskama, it's astira. We always stop aliyahs in the middle of a parsha. What all of a sudden say called Psukah de la Paskama? We never worry about called Parsha de la Paskama. What's going on over here? So different terutzim are suggested. Magen Avraham has a teretz, and the Shagasari and the Turi Eben is not happy with it, so he gives a different teretz. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the teretz is like this, that Kriyas HaTorah has to be kichsova, Kriyas Shema has to be kichsova, and the idea of Zechiras Tzitzis Mitzrayim is not a separate mitzvah unrelated to Kriyas Shema. We say Shema Vayom Shemaya, that says B'shach B'chav Kumecha. Then we say Vayom. What does Vayom have to do with Shema Vayom Shemaya? So Rav Soloveitchik explained B'shem Rav Chaim. Then there's an issue also that Tzlach raises the question, how come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day? He counts as one of the Ramach mitzvahs Aseh. The Rambam wrote a Sefer Mitzvahs. And the whole Sefer Mitzvah says the foundation, that's the basis of the Mishnah Torah. The whole Mishnah Torah is to give you all of the 630 mitzvahs and to give all of the details, to elaborate on all the details of the Taryag Mitzvah Sater. So the Rambam lists as a mitzvah, Sipi Tzias Mitzrayim at Pesach night. How come he doesn't mention the mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim every day of the year? So there may be a few good answers. Maybe more than one answer is correct. So Rav Chaim suggested, in addition to all the other correct, true answers, he gave another answer. He said he thinks that according to the Rambam, the reciting of the third parsha is not an independent mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the mitzvah of, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, in Brachas Daf Chof, where the Kriya Shema is deraisa derabbanan. So the Shagasai quotes the Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina has the commentary on the Rif, Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina and Brachas. So the Rabbeinu Yoni raises a question, how can there be an opinion in the Gemara that Kriya Shema is lav derais? It says in the Chumash, B'shach B'chav Kamecha. How can you get about that? So the Rabbeinu Yoni explains, everybody agrees that there's a din of B'shach B'chav Kamecha twice a day. The Machlokes is where the Dafke reciting Shema V'Yoyim Shemaya is the mitzvah. In other words, the nature of the mitzvah is Kabbalah on Machu Shamayim, Kabbalah on mitzvahs. Or no, it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, like it says in Yoshua. Sefer Yoshua, Hagisa Bo Yom V'Loila. So the mitzvah of Hagisa Bo Yom V'Loila is B'shach B'chav Kamecha. It's identical. So the Rambam paskins, Kriyashma is there. So he counts it as two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah by Yom V'Loila. Then there's mitzvah of Kriyashma by Yom V'Loila. The mitzvah of Kriyashma really means Kabbalah Samachu Shamayim. You're not Yotze by reciting your favorite Daf Gemara. You're going to learn the Daf HaShavua, the Daf Yomi or something. You're not Yotze with that. According to the other opinion, Kriya Shema Lav Deraisa, the insistence on saying Shema V'Yam Shema is only with the Rabbanim. And Atar, as long as you learn something, is good. So the Rambam does not paskin like that. The first Tesis in Brachas seems to hold like that. That's Rabbi Kevega Mishnais. The first Rabbi Kevega Mishnais Brachas points out, he quotes the Prichodosh like that, that the first Tesis in Brachas seems to have accepted Alocha Lamaisa, the Kriya Shema is lav deraisa. And the Rambam is famous. The Rambam paskins Kriya Shema is deraisa. Sofik kara Kriya Shema, sofik loy kara. Even though he's learning other things, he's Mabes Sedra, he's learning Daf Yomi, learning Tanach Yomi, whatever. But Kriya Shema is deraisa because the nature of the mitzvah Kriya Shema is to be mekabel amalcha shemayim by reciting Shema Elohim Shema. Not stam to learn. Vagisa b'yom v'lad. That's why the Rambam counts them as two mitzvahs. One mitzvah of Vagisa b'yom v'lad to learn Torah b'yom v'laila. One mitzvah to be mekabel amalcha shemayim b'yom v'laila. So in connection with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema deraisa, according to the Rambam, kabbalas amalcha shemayim b'yom v'laila, it says in Aseres Adibas, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shehotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Yibes Avodim. So the Ibn Ezra quotes a kasha in the name of Rabbi Yudah HaLevi, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shebarasir Shamayim Bo'eretz. Why such a little thing, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim? Should say something more important. I am the God who created the whole world. I'm in charge of everything. Why only one little historical issue? So the Ibn Ezra explains the answer to the question is, the people didn't witness Briya Shamayim Bo'eretz. Yetzias Mitzrayim, they lived through it. They experienced that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochesh, and Maimon HaSina, Anochesh HaMelekecha Sheyotzeichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. The people knew that from their own experience. They just completed the Yetzias Mitzrayim 7 weeks earlier. So that's why the Rabbanu Shlom proclaimed, Anochesh HaMelekecha Sheyotzeichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, because that they were aware of. So that's Rab Chaim suggested, maybe the mitzvah to recite Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day doesn't exist as a separate mitzvah. Sip Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil Pesach, that's a mitzvah. Sip, we got it to Levincha, the mitzvah of Haggadah, the mitzvah to be misapet barichas. But the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, maybe it doesn't exist as an independent mitzvah. Maybe it's just to enhance the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, because Kriyat Shema is Kabbalas HaMachos Shemayim. And just like in Aseres Adibus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed Aseres Adibus, he said, Anochesh HaMelekecha, Sheyotzeit Sicha Me'eretz Yisrael Mi'beis Avodim, the people knew that. So the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, L'doros, is to be Mekabel HaMalchus Shamayim, Derech Haskoras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have a historical tradition. Avisenu Lo Shikrulonu, I knew all of my four grandparents, my father's parents, and my mother's parents. And they knew their parents and their grandparents going all the way back. And we have a historical tradition. The Rosh Hashanah people had a tradition. Then there was an era of Rav. The Rosh Hashanah people of Bnei Yisrael from the Shvatim. But the era of Oli Yitam, there were several million Jews. And all of these Jews transmitted a historical tradition to their descendants that there was a Maimon HaSinah and there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day to enhance the Kabbalas HaMachos Shamayim. It's one mitzvah together with Kriyat Shema. It's not a separate mitzvah. So just like, so then the punchline of Rav Soloveitchik's explanation was that just like the mitzvah Kriyat Shema is to say two parsha Shema V'Yayim Shemaya, so the mitzvah to recite V'Yayimah is B'Torah's parsha. If you say only one pasuk, Kel Matziyam in Mitzrayim Kisof Asra'im Lo, then you'll be on violation of Kriya Kichsova. Why? Because here the unit that you're working with is a unit of a parsha, a paragraph, because Shema is a parsha, Vayoyim Shema is a parsha. So Vayoyimer, because it's part of Zechir, because it's part of Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, it's the making into Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, Vayidei Haskoras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it should also require that it should be a whole parsha, not a sedra, a parsha Sashavua, but a parsha in the Chumash, a whole paragraph. And if you're laying less than a sedra, even though you're not mispronouncing any words, that's called Kriya Shaloi Kichsova. Kriya Kichsova perhaps requires that it should be a parsha Shlema, as opposed to Kriya Satoira, when they made the Takana Kriya Satoira. So the Gemara says, the Takana is that each Aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and the sum total of the whole Aliyah has to be a minimum of 10 psukim. Somebody has to get, if you just give 3, 3, and 3, it's going to be 9 psukim. So you have to have 10 psukim. So someone has to get 4 psukim. So the whole takana of Kriyas HaTorah was instituted with units of psukim, not with units of parshias, paragraphs, with units of psukim. So when you're talking about Kriyas HaTorah, If you're laying Kriya Satara and you'll be mafsik in the middle of a pasik called Psuka de la Paske Moshe, that'll be a Kriya Shaloi Kichsovai. Because the unit that you're working with in Kriya Satara is Takana de Rabbanim, the units that you're working with is a unit of Psukim. Masha'inikain, the third paragraph of Kriya Shema, the units that you're working with are units of paragraphs, of Parshios. So there the din is called Parsha de Le Paske Moshe Anan Le Paskinim. Shaloi Kichsova doesn't only mean if you mispronounce the words in Shaloi Kichsova. Shaloi Kichsova means if you have to go with the units. If the unit is a whole paragraph, so you have to recite a whole paragraph. If the unit is a pasuk, you have to recite a whole pasuk. Moshe, there's an issue. The Rambam in Hilchas Malachim starts off one of the prokin. They're both a Melchemes Mitzvah and a Melchemes HaRishus. That's the way it says in all the Kisveyad and all the printed editions of the Rambam. Ech Melchemes HaRishus ve'ech Melchemes Mitzvah memanim koin ledaber ha'am. You appoint a koin Moshoch Melchama to give Musar to the soldiers that they shouldn't be afraid and so on. So the Rabbit is massing on the Rambam. What are you appointing a Moshoch Melchama ve'e Melchemes Mitzvah? The Mishnah says in Soita, by Melchemes Mitzvah, everybody goes to the army. You dread everybody. There are no exemptions. ולא לקוח מיהו איש אשר בנה בייס ולא חנה חי, ומיהו איש אשר נוטה קרן ולא חילה לו. These exemptions don't apply by Melchemes Mitzvah, only applies to Melchemes Rishus. So the whole purpose of the Mshoch Melchemes, he should recite the parasha, that those who are exempt should be able to go home. But on Melchemes Mitzvah, it does make sense. That's the Hasagas Arayvin. The Magen Mishnah points out that the Rambam himself and the Sefer HaMitzvah, which was written in Arabic, and the Sefer Mitzvah is the Hakdama. That's the introduction to the whole Mishnah Torah. The Rambam himself writes like the Arayvin there, that you only appoint a Mashoch Mechama in the Melchemes Rishus, but a Melchemes Mitzvah you don't. So the Ravid says, unless maybe the Rambam means you appoint a Mashoch Mechama for a Melchemes Mitzvah, to lay in the other half of the parsha, not who mihu isha she'era sisha, lo lekoch mihu isha she'barim bayisar, not tekan v'lochila lo. No, maybe only lay in the other half of the parsha. Al yerach lebavcham al tirav al tarzu ki Hashem lakechem misalach mikev machanechem hatzileschem lo sabechem v'yidechem v'ay machanechem kodesh. Maybe you say the other half of the parsha. That's what the Magen Mishnah suggests. Maybe that's what the Rambam, that's what the Ravid suggests. Maybe the Rama means to say that you're laying a half of the parsha. So that's a problem, though. If the Moshoch Mocham is only going to lay in half a parsha, could be that that's a violation of Shaloi Kichsovai, because this is all one parsha in the Chumash, all one paragraph. So if in a Mechemes or Rishus, you're going to say the whole parsha, Mechemes Mitzvah is just going to say the half that has the pep talk, the Divrei Chizuk that the Moshoch Mocham gives. And you're not going to lay in the part of the Chos and the Yorch HaMelchama, it could be that that's considered Shaloi Kichsovai. So that's a possibility, getting back again. The Maharam Mintz didn't have the original Ezarus. He only had what was quoted, the Kitz and Nimrods, by the Aguda. Aguda was a Rishon. Aguda was a Rishon. I remember once when I was learning Yeridaya, the Shach always quotes from the Aguda. Shulchan Aruch a lot of times quotes from the Aguda. So I remember once I had to borrow the Aguda from my father's shul. My father was a rabbi in the shul. So the shul had a copy of the Aguda. So I took it home one day. I had to look something up a year there. So one of the Balabatim didn't know what the Aguda was. He thought, I'm getting involved in politics. He thought, I'm joining the Aguda. So he said, such a young boy, I was a teenager. What are you getting involved in politics? What are you looking the Aguda for? Aguda is a Rishon. So I think it's a Talmud of the Rosh or something like that. That's Kufa, after the days of the Rosh. So again, so the Maharam Mintz, quoted by the Magen Avraham, and the first Rama on Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, when he says, if you missed one Shabbos, they missed Kriyas HaTorah, you should make it up the next Shabbos and lay in it like in the Chubarim. So the Maharam Mintz didn't have the original Ezarus. He says, you got to, Moshe Rabbeinu made a Takana, you have to finish all the Kriyas HaTorah and all the Shabbos HaShana. He only had the abridged form from the Aguda. So he understood that it's only like Mechubarim. It's you never make three sedes mechubarim. You never make mechubarim from mechukos to bamidbar. So you don't go from one chumash to the other. So we should really reject everything that he said. But that's the issue that I raised yesterday. It could be that the Maharam Mintz is right for a different reason. Maybe if you're going to lean, like we did on Shabbos, they leaned, I think, the end of Shmos. I think the Shabbos before Purim. I think Shabbos... Parsha Zohar, I think, was Parsha's Tetzaveh. So I think they started, I'm pretty sure. So I think on this 2 days ago on Shabbos when they made this Hoysofer, Hoysofer, they gave seven aliyahs and Nitzav Mayelach. Then they called up and said Chatzi Kaddish, because they had seven different people got the aliyahs. And then they gave the last aliyah, which had the 15 sedras or whatever, 13 sedras. So they gave that to a separate person. So they started Kisisa by Yakal Pikude by Yikrat Sav Shmini, they lent till the end of the Emor. So they lent all of those sedras. So in addition to Zamayelach, they lent all those. So that's a question. Can you lent in one aliyah? You lent by Yakal Pikude, and then you lent like nothing happened without batting an eyelash. You start lenting by Yikra. You lent, it's a run on book. Not a run-on sentence, a run-on paragraph, it's a run-on book. You're reading at the end of one sefer to the other. If you give one aliyah from Shmos and then you give a different aliyah from Vayikra, okay, but include in one aliyah from one chumash to the other, maybe the Maharam Mintz is right for a lot of mitameh, he said, because they never have such a mechubarim. But we the Ikra Dinah doesn't really have to be based on what Mechubarim is supposed to be like. It could be that the Mar Mincha is right for a different reason. Could be that that's called Kriya Shalot Kichsoba. You're not misreading, you're not mispronouncing the words, you're pronouncing all the words correctly, but maybe to read from one sefer to the other, maybe that's a violation of Shalot Kichsoba. You don't read from one sefer to the other. So that was the argument that some raised, but the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur does it every Yom Kippur. There's a Kriya Satorah Deraisa, and he leans from a Sefer Torah. He says a bracha, Shabbat Habana before, Hashem Nasalon at the end, and then he leans from Achimois, then from Emor, and then he says the rest by heart from Chumash Pkudim, from Bamidbor, from Parshas Pinchas. So he's leaning from Vayikra, and then he's leaning from Pinchas. It's two different chumashim. So you see, it's one aliyah from two chumashim is not a problem. So that's what I suggest. Yes, and maybe that doesn't prove anything. Maybe the oilam to lay from two chumashim is called shaloi kechsova. If you're laying with Torah's reading, you don't read on from Shmos to Vayikra. You have to have a pause in between. It doesn't make sense to fit it into one aliyah. But maybe the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is like Tesis says, betray inyoni, ain't done him. And of Heyam Beis, so Tosa says, from the Aseres Adibris in Parshas Yisro to the Aseres Adibris in Parshas Veschanan, what did Tosa call Meruchokim Tuva? That one is in Shmos and one is in Dvarim. They're very far apart. You need a lot of rolling in between. But that's all, it's a Hemshech of the same topic. So then maybe that you can be done a Klala Prata Klal. One to the other, even though they're so far apart from each other, but it's the same topic. So maybe if you're leaning to make up all the things that you missed Kisisa Vayakal Pikudid, then you're going to continue like nothing happened. You're going to lean by Yikwet Sav Shmini. Maybe that's called Kriya Shalot Kichsava. You're leaning from two different Chumashim. It doesn't blend in together to one Aliyah. But maybe the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is only leaning in Yoni Yom Kippur. So just like Tesa says, the Aseres Adibris in Voschanan is a Hemshech of the Aseres Adibris in Yisro. So maybe the Kohen Gadol is Kriya on Yom Kippur. Maybe that doesn't disprove this idea. Maybe the Maram Rintz is right for Lav Mitamei. Maybe you can't give one aliyah from two different Chumashim. We do it every year on Simchas Torah. We learn B'zayis HaBracha, and then we learn from Bereshis. Then we learn from Bereshis. But it's a different aliyah. The Chosan Torah gets the end of V'zayis HaBracha, then someone else gets the beginning of in Kagainim that we learn from a third Sefer Torah, we learn Pinchas. That's not Medina de Gemara. In the days of the Gemara, that didn't exist. Days of the Gemara, the only time that they would learn the Psukim from the Musafim was on Chalamay Tzukas. The Gemara said, that's Medina de Gemara. You learn a Chalamay Tzukas, V'yam HaRishon, Yom HaSheni, Yom HaShlishi. Every day you learn what the Karbanos are supposed to be. Our practice that on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, that's me Gemara, that you learn Parshas of Shavuot, then you learn from Pinchas. That says in the Gemara like that. But on Yontif that you learn, let's say on Rosh Hashanah, you learn the Akedah, then you learn from Pinchas for the Haftarah, for the Maftir. That's a Takonis Againim. The Magen Avraham, it's the basis of the quotes that from the Gainim, and the Magen Avraham quotes it in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. That's only Takanas Aganim. So let's say if it's the same person, that was a shada that came up. Many shuls, I mentioned it briefly yesterday, I'll explain it again. Many shuls, they don't have any plexiglass to separate between the Balkorim and the Oilal HaTorah. So they're going to still continue on Rosh Hashanah. They're going to have the same person who's going to get all the five aliyahs. So does it make sense that you should make a Hisofa in addition to getting five aliyahs? They're going to get a sixth aliyah. You're going to make a Hisofa for the same person. Bad enough that he took all the five aliyahs. You shouldn't make a sixth aliyah. So you should only give five aliyahs. So you'll only be able to fulfill the Dina de Gemara, five aliyahs for the Parsha Sankeda. And you won't have the Haftarah on Rosh Hashanah, the Maftir on Rosh Hashanah that you slain from Parsha's Pinchas. That's a Minag HaGoyim. That's a Takanas HaGoyim, Minag HaGoyim, whatever it is. The Rabbi and Tom explain that you're allowed to make a Hisofa. So the meaning is, and you make a Hisofa. To make Hisofas doesn't only mean, let's say you have a long sedra, and you, instead of giving seven aliyahs, you give 10 aliyahs to divide. That's one way to do Hisofas. Then there's another way to do Hisofas, like we did on Shabbos. We lay Nitzav Mayelech, we gave 7 aliyahs, then we made an 8th aliyah, and we laid 13 sederis or something like that, 12, 11, 13 sederis. We laid a lot. That's another kind of ourselves. That's what the Gaonim instituted. That on Shalosh Regalim, in addition to Shara Kesav Eis Ki Yivaleh, they're called Apchor, whatever you lay, on Yontif, or the Parsha Sakeda, whatever you lay, or Yom Kippur, whatever the Kriyas HaTorah is, you take out a second Sefer Torah, and you lay from Parshas Pinchas, the Musafim. That's Takanas HaGaonim. What right did they have to make a Takanim? That's a Hoysofer. Nikra, then you can make Hoysofers on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. I mentioned yesterday, usually we don't make Hoysofers. We follow the Ran on the Rif. The Ran on Mishnah's Megillah, the Ran on the Rif explains his understanding of the Mishnah is you're only allowed to make Hoysofers on Shabbos, because Shabbos has the maximum, the highest number of aliyahs. But you can't make Hoysofers on Yom Tov, because then you're giving Yom Tov Chashivas like Yom Kippur. Can't make Hoysofers on Yom Kippur. Instead of 6, you're going to give 7 or more. Give Yom Kippur Chashivas like Shabbos. That's not right. Shabbos is on top. Shabbos has the highest number of aliyahs. So only on Shabbos you're allowed to make Hoysofers. So lechatchila all year long, that's the common practice. But once in a while, we violate that practice. Let's say you have a lot of guests and you want to make Hoysofers on Yom Tov. So Mikra Din, you're allowed to. On Simchas Torah, for sure, we usually do. You give everybody an aliyah. So you're making a ton of Hoysofers on Yom Tov. So that was the Shaila, let's say, this coming Rosh Hashanah. So you're just going to learn the Parsha from Rosh Hashanah. And if the Balkor is going to get all the 5 aliyahs, it's not right to give a 6th aliyah. So then you're not going to lane that the Minin Kagainim, that you take out a second Sefer Torah and you lane from Pinchas, the Parsha Samusofim on Rosh Hashanah. So you won't be observing the Minin Kagainim at all. So some of the Rabbanim suggested maybe you should do it like this. The Balkor should get 4 aliyahs in the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh. Instead of giving him 5, give 4 aliyahs in the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh. And then the 5th aliyah will be from Parshas Pinchas. You'll only give 5 aliyahs. It doesn't make sense to give him 6. Why should make Hoysofers? It's the same person. They'll only give 5, but maybe give 4 in the Kriya of Rosh Hashanah. And then the Midina de Gemara. And then the 5th aliyah should be like a Hoysofer. You're allowed to make Hoysofers, but he's making a different kind of Hoysofer. There are only 5 aliyahs, but instead of laying all 5 from the Parsha Medina de Gemara, having a 6th aliyah in Parsha Spinchas, maybe give 4 aliyahs from the Rosh Chodesh Dikki Kriya, and then you give the same person who got all the 4 aliyahs, he's going to get the 5th aliyah is going to be from Pinchas. That was a suggestion that some of the Rabbanim made. Maybe that's what you should do. Okay. The whole idea of learning, the Gemara has the highest level of learning is when you learn Lasuk Hishmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa. And the Litvish Yeshivas, they always learned Noshim and Ezekin. And they frowned upon those who were learning Yeridea. They would look at them and say, you're going into the rabbinate. That's a chisaran. You're going into the rabbinate. You have to learn Lishma. Lishma means not to know Halacha L'maisa. You should dafka not know. The Chazanish tried to correct this. The Chazanish was successful a little bit. So in the Kalalim, they introduced, you learn Chulin, you learn Nida, you learn Erevin. He broke through a little bit. He didn't like the whole thing. The highest level of learning in the Gemara is when you learn Lasuka Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa. Rav Soloveitchik gave a lot of fancy Torah, but he always came out Lasuka Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa. It wasn't like all the big Rosh Yeshivas who just say Pilpulim, and when it comes to Halach Lamaisa, they don't learn Motzi Deim Raglaim. He's always his feet were always on the ground. To know Halacha L'maisa. Okay, let's see. We're up to the next Gemara. On Daf, what Daf are we? Daf Vavam Beis. The last 20 lines or so. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav HaBodi Tzorach Sheyivatel. After you finish Bedikas Chametz, you have to be Mevatel the Chametz. This is a historical question. Rav was Mechadish this in his generation. But in the days of the Tanaim, that din didn't exist. The din only was you need Bedikas Chametz. Rav is telling us that's part of the Bedika that's mentioned in the Mishnah. So that's a historical question. If you look on the first Tosfos in the Masechta, Tosfos has kashas against Rashi. That based on the very first Tosfos, Tosfos asks on Rashi, assuming that Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Habertzol Sheivatul, that Rav is telling us this was the takanas atanoim, that you have to be boide chametz and you have to be mevat. That was always the din. Not that Rav is inventing a new din mikan lahabai, telling us what din then always was. And based on that historical assumption, they had a kasha against Rashi. It could well be that Rashi holds that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav was mechadish this din. Not that Rav is telling us that that's what the din always was. He's inventing a new din, yesh meyayin, so mimela, the whole kasha of Tosfos against Rashi will go off. What's happening over here? How do I stop this? What happened now? Okay, so that's a historical question, and it may answer Tosfos Kasha on the first Rashi. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Habar Tzol Sheivatul. The question, my time, what do you need? Name on Mishum Pirurin. The fellow's going to look for boxes of chametz, cookies or something like that, but there are crumbs on the floor. So the Gemara says, that's what you're worried about. You have to be Mevatul because of the crumbs on the floor. In fact, the Gemara, Haloi Chashivi, has no Chashivi, so it's Batul Me'elov. So you don't have to be Mevatul it. It's bottom of the tema. Maybe you'll argue the point that it's not bottom of the love. People always lock the door to their apartment. Why do they lock the door to their apartment? They're afraid someone's going to steal the cookie crumbs on the floor. No, the cookie crumbs on the floor, the crumbs on the floor, they couldn't care less. They're afraid people are going to steal their furniture, people are going to steal their silver that they have in the house. So that's a question. The tema, maybe you'll argue and say, Kevin the Mintalo, who Agabe say, the person locks his house. He doesn't want Ganovim to come in to steal the valuable things. So therefore, even the Pirurim are also under lock. So maybe the Pirurim are not the bottle Malim. So Gemara says, it's not true. Vahatani, we have a Tosefta. Where is this Tosefta? So here there's a misprint. It says on the side in the Gemara that I'm using, it says that it's in Tosefta Perikei and Maisris. A Perek Beis. It's not Perek Beis. And the new Gemaras, they corrected it. It's Tosefta. It's Perek Gimel, the Brisa Yud Gimel, or something like that. It's always important to check the Toseftas. If you have time, there's a fascinating Yecheskel Abramsky wrote a commentary on the Toseftas called Chazon Yecheskel. So on that Tosefta and Perek Gimel, Amaisris, he has a long essay. He explains that he thinks there's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, Rashi and our Gemara, and in the way the Rambam quotes it, the Sefer. I'm not going to go into it, but if people have time, it's worth looking it up. But it's in Perek Gimel. You can look all you want in Perek Beis, you won't find it. It's in Perek Gimel and Maseches Maisers, I think, Brisa Yud Gimel. So the Brisa reads like this, Soifei Te'enim, he already plucked off, the farmer has Te'enim, figs, and the leftover figs are junky. The farmer is not doesn't care about them. However, he keeps the fence locked to his farm, because the grapes are not yet ripe, so he locks the fence that the stranger shouldn't come in, but he doesn't care about the tainim. They're not of value. Or it's the end of the anovim season, and what's left, he's not going to pluck the leftover grapes. However, Mishama said there, but he locks the gates to his matlos. There are other fruits and vegetables that are going to become ripe later. So what's the status over here? The din, there is a din that Hefker is potter from Chumas and Maisris. When you study Baba Kama and Af Chav Ches, there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. It's an important machlokes. We're not going to talk about it today. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. How exactly is that din learned out from the Pasuk? What's the nature of the din? That whatever is Hefka is part of from Chumas and Maisis. Okay, that's an important topic, but it's not for today. So the question is over here. Sophie Tainim, the leftover Tainim, the Balabai doesn't care for. They're not of value. Sophie Anovim, he doesn't care for them. But he still locks the gates to his farm because the next fruits that are not yet ripened he's not, he is, he does care about them, but he doesn't care about the Sefer Teilim and Sefer Anavim. So it says in the Braisa, the din is like this. If the Baal HaBayis makbid, he doesn't want anybody to take the inferior quality to Einim, the figs that are ripening last, or the inferior quality of grapes, he's makbid about it, then Asurim Shem Gezel, no one's allowed to take it, and therefore he's not mafkirit, the Chayavim Amaisa. It's not Hefker, and therefore it is Chayavim Shem Asmash, ain't Baal HaBayis makbid aleim. However, Baal HaBayis not makbid, even though he keeps the doors locked, but he's locking, like I lock the doors to my apartment, I'm not afraid someone's going to steal the crumbs on the floor. The rabbi steal the crumbs. I don't want the mice come in to steal the crumbs on the floor. But people want to come in, eat the crumbs on the floor, because they hate. I lock the house because I don't want them to walk off with my furniture, with the silver in the house, the things of value. So if the Baal HaBayis is makbid, then there's an Issa Gezel, then they're not hefker, then it's chayv and shumas and maises. Bizman, yeah. Bizman she'en Baal HaBayis makbid, if he's not makbid, then he's mafkirid, then matorim shem gezel p'turim. Then a hefker is pafa trum semaisis. So the Gemara says, Gemara says, a kasha am Rav Yudra. Why does he say that you have to be mevatel chometz after you finish the bedika? Why does he have to be mevatel chometz? Because he's going to lock the doors to his house. So the pirurim, when he does bedika chometz, he's looking for big boxes of cookies or candies that are chametzik. He's not looking for crumbs. The crumbs are on the floor. So the Gemara says, maybe he'll tell me because he locks the door to protect all of his property. So then the pirurim are not bottled. So the Gemara says, no, the Tosefta says he locks the door because of something else. He doesn't care about the crumbs on the floor like he doesn't care over there because of the inferior quality to Einim or the inferior quality on Avim. So then they will be bottled. Then it will be bottled. The simple reading of the Gemara sounds the way Tosfos says. There was a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos on Dalet Amud Beis. Tosfos de Mamascha, but there is a bitul b'yalma sagi. Tosfos understood that bitul chometz means hefker, lehevi hefker. If you mafker it, then it's not shalcho. Shalcho yateroy, amal ateroy shalachem shalgavoy. It's shal hefker. If it's hefker, there's no bal yirod by motzi. And Rashi learned not so. Rashi didn't learn that bitul chametz means hefker. Rashi learns that bitul chametz is a declaration, to use the expression of the Ran, b'shem the Ramban, his kima daita the das haTorah. Torah says the chametz bepesach zosabachi loosabano. So the Torah says tashbisu ach b'yamarish and tashbisa. Yamarish means erev pesach. Tashbisa means you should make, either destroy it, okay, I'll make a declaration, an oral declaration. As far as I'm concerned, it's worthless, meaningless. I'm not planning to eat it, and I'm not planning to gain any benefit from it. I'm going to observe the dinim and the Torah. Is asabachil and asabahanoa. So according to Tosfos, that bitul chametz means hefker. So we understand what the Gemara is saying over here. About it, tzorche yivatul. In fact, the Gemara, why does he have to be mevatul? Be pirurim abatul me'aleim. It's hefker by itself. And what is tosefta? If the Baal HaBayis is not makbid on it, then it's hefker by itself. But if you're like Rashi, that bitul doesn't mean hefker. Bitul means the fulfillment of the mitzvah by his being, making a declaration. His kima daita the das haTorah. He plans to observe what the Torah tells us, that chometz, you should not eat it on Pesach, and you should not gain any benefit from it. So how are they quoting from a din of hefker to prove a point of the kima mitzvah? Just because something is bottled pirurim, a bottle me'alei, means that you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu. How does one thing prove to the other? Pirurim, a bottle me'alei, means that the hefker, but he didn't make a declaration. His kima daita le das haTorah. So according to Rashi, it's problematic. According to Rashi, and the Ran and the Ramban, they hold that bitul chometz is a fulfillment of the mitzvah. How are they mixing together two different topics over here? According to Tosfos, it's identical. Bitul chametz means hefker. So the quoting a price of something is hefker automatically. It's an umdar in the muchach, something is hefker. Is there a din that you have to be makke b'peh, b'feirish? Let's say there's an umdar in the muchach that a person wants to be mekabel, and let's say a person is a mute, he can't speak. But it's an Umder the Mucha, he goes sign language. And he makes with sign language, he shows us that he wants to take a neder or a shvua for something. So the Pashtus says that it's not binding, because the Chumash says in Pashtus Vayikra, Nefesh kisushava levate biswa sign. If he does with sign language, Pashtus says that it's not chal. Thank you. Pashtus says that it would not be chal. There is a question in Yeridei and Hilchas Shvuas, what if a person signs a shvua biksav? He says, I accept upon myself an oath that not to eat potato chips until after Sukkot. Is shvua biksav binding? Levati b'sosayim means to pronounce with your lips, but so he didn't say anything. But he's saying, no, levati b'sosayim means to formulate a statement in words. So he made words. He did do words. He wrote. But let's say a person counts sfira sa'ima. Esratam lechem, so you need sfira b'peh. So instead of having sfira b'peh, he writes a letter to a friend of his. He writes, today is Lag B'Omer, and I'm going on a, tonight is Lag B'Omer, and I'm going to go to Lubavitch, I'm going to have a good time, whatever. So he wrote, tonight is Lag B'Omer. And then he realizes an hour later, he just counted sfira by writing on the letter, today is Lag B'Omer. Well, let's say the Gabbai in the shul, they have a chart, and every night the Gabbai changes the statement. It says, Hayayim Chamisha Yamim Ba'ima, Hayayim Esrim Yam Ba'ima. So the Gabbai puts up that statement. So he made his statement by hanging it up on the wall. Is he in fulfillment of Sphere Saima already then, by hanging up the statement? Or do you say, no, you need Sphere of the Peh Dafkin? So this discussion, Rabbi Kivega had a correspondence with his uncle, Wolfager, about this topic, whether Sfira Saima Biksav, it's a Biksav, and Shul Biksav is a discussion. So would anybody, let's say Hefker, would anybody insist that Hefker has to be Dafke B'Peh? There's a strange lashon. The Rambam writes when he quotes, where does the Rambam have the dinim of Hefker in Hilchos Nedorim? Very strange. So the Rambam writes that a Hefker Bichlal HaNedorim. Why is it Bichlal HaNedorim? What if there's an umder in the muchach? What if the fellow is a mute and he can't speak? It's an umder in the muchach that hear the crumbs on the floor. So the Tosefta says, if the balabais is not makbid, he does have to make an oral declaration that he's mafkirit. It's not a din of levate b'sosayim. It's an umder in the muchach that he's mafkirit, so it becomes hefker automatically. There's some that's a problematic. Rambam, what did the Rambam mean when he quote, why did he quote Hilchas Hefker and Hilchas Nedorim? And he says, based on the Gemara in the first parak in Nedorim, that ha'hefke b'chlal ha'nedorim, why you need datke levate b'sosayim? Pashta says you don't need levate b'sosayim. For this tosefta maestros, you see, whenever there's an umder in the muchach, that he doesn't care for the thing, so it becomes hefke automatically. So Rabbi Cheska Abramsky talks about that in his commentary on this tosefta. Maybe it's not really midin hefke, maybe it's midin yush. Maybe hefke and yush are not exactly the same. It's like a big difference between the two. Okay. That's a topic. Anyway, but the simple reading of the Gemara here sounds like Tosis, that Bitl Chometz is identical with Hefker. It's not like Rashi said. A Bitl Chometz means his Kima Daita the Das HaTorah, that he's making an oral declaration that he plans not to get any benefit at all. He plans not to eat it and not to get any Hanah from it. The Pashtus Gemara reads like Tosis. Anyway, so that's the Gemara's Shaila. Why does Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav require but it's Tzoch Sheyivatel? What are you worried about? If you're going to find chametz, he's going to destroy it. And the crumbs, he's not looking for crumbs. So the crumbs are batal me'aleim. So there's no Ba'yira Ba'yimotzi. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, we're afraid of the following. Zerish Amin Tzegluske Yofa B'dayte Ilavi. He does it because chametz orlar, but also he may not do such a good job. He forgot. You only have to look in the Mokim Shemachnisim or Chometz. So he forgot that he put a whole bag full of cookies in a he put it in a hiding place. Then in the middle of Pesach, he'll come across this bag of cookies. He put it in a place in Mokim Shemachnisim or Chometz. He put it in the toy room or something. He put it behind the Gemaras or something like that. And then he may discover it on Pesach. He forgot all about it. So Xerish Amisk Gluski Yafa Vidaita Ilave. Then he'll be in violation of Bal Yura by Mat. Freg the Gemara, Chimashkachas Lay. So when he finds the Chametz, when he finds it the next day, Leal Bidike, he didn't find. When he finds it the next day, Livatle, let him be Mavatle then. Why do you insist he has to be Mavatle immediately following the Bidikas Chametz? Let him be Mavatle when he finds it. Gemara says, no, we're afraid Duma, Mashkachas Lay the Basari Surah. Maybe he'll find the chametz after the zman istran. He can only be mevatel chametz kol zman that it shaloi u birshusay. Once the chametz becomes asa ba'anoa, when after the chametz comes asa ba'anoa et chatzos, when the rabbanon the chametz comes asa ba'anoa now before chatzos, in the beginning of shal shishis, when after the chametz comes asa ba'anoa at the end of the shal shishis, that's chatzos, when the rabbanon the beginning of the shal shishis. So once it's also banor, labishu sekaim, but the matzim and batle. How do you know? The Omer, Rabbi Lozer made a statement. Shnei dvar meinim bishusu shalad masan akasu ki lehem bishusay. What are the two lehem bor bishusay rabim? The Rashi explains over here. The pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says ki yiftach ishbar ki yichri ishbar. A person either digs a bor, so he becomes the balabor. The street doesn't belong to him. And even if he digs a bor, he doesn't own the bor, Rashi says. But it says in the Chumash, Balabor Yishalem. Kesef Yashavot Balabor. And Nesi Allah says, Balabor, how is he the Balabor? Answer is because he did Asiyas HaBor. He either did Asiyas HaBor by Kiyichri Ishbor, by digging, or Kiyiftach Ishbor. There was a bor, let's say, there are a lot of bors in New York City, but there's a sewer has a lid on it. So he goes over to this sewer and he takes the lid off and he leaves it open like that. And someone is walking by. People, you don't leave the lid off. You always have the sewer covered with the lid. So the fellow took off the lid. Either ala psicha chayv, ala kriya chayv. He becomes the balabor. So that's literally enush alay. Bar b'shus harabim, Rashi says, is literally enush alay. Enush harabim kinuy alay. But nonetheless, the Chumash calls him balabor yishalem. He's called the balabor for nizikim purposes because the psicha or the kriya makes him the bar. Hasan akasu ki lehem ushuzet. Torah declares that he is considered the balabor. Then the other one is chametz misheish shos alamayla. After sheish, the chametz becomes also ba'anoa min ha-Torah. So once the chametz comes also ba'anoa min ha-Torah, it's really not his. And it doesn't make sense that he should violate ba'yirah ba'imatz. Why is it not his? So that's a big question in the Rishonim. Why is chametz that it's also the bor b'shus haram is not his? The bor doesn't belong to him. It belongs to the bnei b'shus haram. But he's called the balabor yishalem because he did asiyas hamazik in nizikin for nizikin purposes. He's called the balabor. But why is over here? Why is the chametz anything that's also b'ano is called ene b'shusay? How do you translate ene b'shusay? So it's a big machlokes in Maseches Sukkah. In Baba Kama, other places, some Rishonim are of the opinion. The Ran and the Dharm has a long essay about this. So some of the Rishonim are of the opinion that anything that's asa ba'anoa, it can't have ownership on it. It's ein shaloi. And when Rab Lozer says shnei dvarim ein b'shusa shaladam, what does it mean? Bar b'shusa rab ein b'shusa? No, it's ein shaloi. So even chometz misheish ha'asamad, it didn't mean to say ein b'shusa. It means ein shaloi. B'shusa means a different thing. We mentioned the other day that in Baba Kama and Daf Ayin Tes, there's a machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish. The Gemara shows it's really an old machlokes Hatanaim. They dug up a Mishnah Maseches Ma'isa Sheni. There's a machlokes Hatanaim. If something is Shali, let's say they stole my automobile, and I don't know where in the world it is. They stole my automobile, I think, twice. Different automobiles. And each time, we didn't know where in the world it was, and then once the police notified us, and one time the neighbors notified us that the Ganef parked it a few blocks away. So if you have your automobile is stolen, it's shalcha, but it's not called birshuscha. You don't have access to it. Full ownership is something shaliyah birshusi. So that's a machlek is satanayim and a machlek is biyechem eishlokish. What do you mean? If gozel, someone stole my automobile, someone stole my behema, whatever, and I don't know where it is. I don't have access to it. So we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan, you cannot be mafkerit, not considered a full bialim. If it's my sashen, you can't be paid it. You can only be Poter Maaseh She'ini if you're the Bailim or the Bailim authorized you. They gave you permission to be Poter their Maaseh She'ini. But if I'm not the full Bailim, the Ganef is certainly not the Bailim. He's Einu Shalav, Einu Beshusa. He's not a Bailim at all. But even the Nignav is not a full Bailim. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan because it's Shaloi the Einu Beshusa. So that's the question over here. When Rabbi Lozer says, Shnei Dvorim are not Beshusai, why does it say Eina B'shusa? Why doesn't it say it's Eina Shaloi? So some Rishonim say that's what it means, Eina Shaloi. Bar B'shusa Ram is literally Eina Shaloi. Rashi says Eina Kanuya Lo, Eina B'shusa Ram Kanuya Lo. So Chometz Mishay Shosa Lamayla, anything that's also Hanoa is called Eina Shaloi. You have ownership on Isuri Hanoa. The other opinion, the Tzais doesn't like that sheet. Half of the Rishonim hold like that. In Sukkah, a lot of Rishonim hold like that. That Isuri Hanoa can't be Shaloi. The Tzais doesn't like that. He likes the other opinion in the Rishonim that Yisuri Hanoa are Shaloh. Why should you lose your ownership? But saying a Bishusa. Bishusa means you have access to it. You have the ability. I know where my car is. I have the keys and I can go drive the car. If the car is stolen, I don't know where it is. Then it should leave. Ain't a Bishusa. If you have Yisuri Hanoa, it belongs to you, but you don't have access to it because the Torah prohibits you from getting any Hanoa from it. You're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to sell it. If you sell it and you make money, then you're getting hanor from it. So since you don't have access to it because of the is hanor, that's called Eina B'shusa. So that's what some achrenim hold. Why did Rabbi Lossa say Shnei? He puts together two things. Eina B'shusa. He should have said Shnei Dvar Me'ena Shaloi. The answer is no. Bor B'shusa Ram is Eina Shaloi. But Yisuri hanor is not Eina Shaloi. So that's why he toned down Rabbi Lossa and Amari, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So Blazer says, Shnei Dvarim, you're not a full Bailim. Bar B'shus Rab, you're not a Bailim at all. Ain't a Kanuya Lo at all. It's Mamish not Shalom. Chomitz Mishay Shalom is Shalom, but it's ain't a B'shusa. So it's like that. That Yisuri Hanoi are not Shalom. Yisuri Hanoi are Shalom, but it's ain't a B'shusa. Yeah. There's a Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin. Our practice, there are three ways to make Kiddushin. The first Mishnah in Kiddushin says either Kesef Shtar Rabia. And the Rambam explains the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, Kvanog Kol Yisrael Kaddish BeKesef, meaning by the Jews is, by the Orthodox Jews is, that we do Kiddushe Kesef. We explain because the Karaites never believed in Kiddushe Kesef. All the Karoim, they have, each group of Karoim have different practices. There were some from Africa, some from Asia, some from Europe, and certain things they have in common. So all of them, none of them hold from Kiddushe Kesef, because the Rambam explains Kiddushe Kesef is Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what the Rambam says. Kanog kol yisrael the kaddish b'kesef, meaning by the Orthodox Jews is that we do dafke kedusha kesef to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Mishnah says at the end of the second parak in Kedushin that the kesef has to be shaveh prutam. So you can be mekaddish either b'kesef or b'shaveh kesef. You can give cash or you can give a ring. You can give. We our meaning is that we give a ring. We give shaveh kesef. Shaveh kesef kekesef. That's already Torah Shebaal Peh on top of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the Taisus and the Ramban and all the Rishonim on the first Mishnah and Kiddushin. How did the Mishnah know that Shavu Kesef is Kekesef? How do you know Kesef is good for Kiddushin? The Gemara gives the Gzeru Shavu Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. How do you know that Shavu Kesef is acceptable? So that's Torah Shebaal Peh on top of Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Mishnah says if a man is Bekadosh and Isha with Shavu Kesef, which is also Bahanoah, so the Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin gives you a whole list of all of the Yisuri Hanoa. The same list appears in the end of Temurah. We were speaking the other day. The end of Temurah, the Mishnah divides all the Yisuri Hanoa into two categories. Those that are on Nisrafim, those that are on Nigbarim. But it gives you a whole list of all the Yisuri Hanoa. So similarly, the Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin lists off a whole list that the Hamar say, Anazir, Bos Mecholav, or look like Akerem Chametz BePesach, Chul Nishchadu Bazar, a whole list of all the Yisrael Hanoa that if you Mekadosh and Isha, but Yisrael Hanoa is Zeinim Mekodesh. So why is there such a din? If you Mekadosh, Yisrael Hanoa is Zeinim Mekodesh. So the Rishonim give three different explanations. So some say, because Yisrael Hanoa not Shaloi, just like it says, Shnei Dvar Meinim Bishusai, and Bar Bishusai means Zeinim Shaloi, it does mean Zeinim Bishusai. So Chametz Ben Shei Shoas Alamayla, all Yisrael Hanoa are Eina Shaloi, period. Okay, that's one opinion. The other opinion is, no, that's too much. Chometz is not Eina Shaloi. Yisrael Hanoa are Eina B'shusa. That's how the Tzoyis likes that. But if something is Shaloi, Eina B'shusa, then you can't be Makna it. So when you want to be Mekadosh the kesef, you have to give the ring, you have to be makna the ring to the kala. So if it's either enish alai, man, if it's enish alai, she can't have ownership. I don't have ownership. Nobody, no Jewish people. A nochri can have ownership of Yisrael HaNoh, because mutar b'hanoh. But as far as all the Jews are concerned, since it's asam HaNoh, it can't be shalai. If you all the same, if Bishusa, like the Tzoyz, likes that opinion. So also we understand, it's shalai of the chosin b'en Bishusa. So when he gives it to the Kala, you can't be mocked in something that's in a Bishusa. So he'll never succeed al pidin. The Chasim will never succeed in giving over the Orlok, Lakerem, the Chametz, the Pesach, Sharan Niskal. He won't succeed in giving over ownership to the Kala because he can't be Makna or Dovashayna Bishusa. But then there's a third opinion in the Rishayim that the whole thing is not true. Yisrael HaNoah Ar Shalom, and it is Bishusa. So why Shayna Mukadeshus? So Rashi writes in a few places, quite a few places, Rashi writes, because it's not Shavu Pruta. How do you establish the Shabbos of Shavu Kesef? How do you establish how much something is worth? So the Nesivis has in a few of his various Svarim, Kamahu Shavu Limka Bashuk. That's how you establish the Shabbos. Let's say a person, it's a mashal that I always give, a person went through the concentration camps and had this little tiny sitter in his pocket, and that's what saved him. That's why he was davening every day from the sitter. So this little sitter that's torn to pieces and it's all filthy and dirty and worn out, you can hardly see anything. He was holding on to it the whole time. Has sentimental value to him. It's worth $1 million. But if you would sell it in the market, kamu shavalem kamshuk is zero. Who wants to buy such a torn up little sitter? Doesn't mean anything to anybody else. So that's not called Shabbos. If somebody will come and burn his sitter, they won't have to pay him $1 million because it has $1 million worth of sentimental value to him. He paid nothing because kamu shavalem kamashuk is worthless. Pachas mishavu puta. No one's going to buy it because it's worthless. Shabbos is always considered kamu shavalem kamashuk. So that's what Rashi says. If you mekadesh an isha with yisrei hanoh ein b'kodesh, it's why Rashi seems to hold it is shaloi and it is b'shusai, but it's not shavu pruta. Because kamahu shavalem kamashuk is zero, because you're not allowed to take any money. It's against the halacha. If you sell yisrei hanoh and you get money for it, then you're in violation of getting hanoh from yisrei hanoh. So it's not shavalem kamashuk anything. So these are the three shittas. My time, why does the Mishnah say a man has been Kaddish and Isha with Yisri HaNoah, she's in Bukudesha, so the one sheet in the Rishayim, Yisri HaNoah, Ein HaShaloi, period. You can't have ownership on Yisri HaNoah. Second sheet is what the Tzoyz like. You can't say it's Ein HaShaloi, but it's Ein HaBishusa, because Bishusa means you have accessibility to it. And it's not, you don't have accessibility because it's Asa HaNoah. And the third sheet is Rashi sheet. Rashi always says, the Kaddish B'Yisrei HaNoah is not Shavu Pruta. That's why. Kamahu Shavu Lim Kabashuk. Since you're not allowed to charge money for it, so it's not Shavu Lim Kabashuk anything, so it's not Shavu Pruta. That's why. There's such a... If Rashi holds that B'Yisrei HaNoah are Shalo and they are B'Shusai, so doesn't it contradict Rebbe Elazar? Shnei dvarim ve'ena b'shusa shalot. Me, the ena b'shusa means ena b'shusa, or it means ena shalot. It means one or the other. But he doesn't say that it's pachas b'shavu pruta. He didn't say that. So according to Rashi, Rashi claims that all yisrei hanoah are shaloi u'b'shusa, just the chisor, and the reason why ena mukudeshes is because it's pachas b'shavu pruta. How does he read Rabbi Elazar? So all achrayim say, Rashi says, all Yisrei HaNoah HaShaloi B'Shusa. What kind of Yisrei HaNoah? Orlok Le'akerem, Basa B'Chola, Petach Amor, Seya Nozir, those kind of Yisrei HaNoah. But if you have Yisrei HaNoah of Avodah Zarah or Chometz B'Pesach, that you have to dispose of it immediately. You're not allowed to keep it in your ownership. There's a violation of Ba'yirai Ba'yimatzeh. Or there's a violation of you're not allowed to have in your possession of a reserve. You're not allowed to hold on to anything from an irani dachas. You're not allowed to hold on to any avodizora. So if it's an isurei hanoah that you're not allowed to possess, you have to dispose of it right away. Or leklar kerem, you shouldn't leave it around the house for a long time. The Gemara has at the end of the first parak himself, and the Gemara is going to say, you're not allowed to leave tray for food around the house. You're afraid someone is going to forget and they're going to eat it. Certainly not allowed to leave Yisrael, nor around the house for too long. But you don't have to burn it the first second. But if it's Chametz B'Pesach, or it's Avodah Zarah, then you have to dispose of it immediately. It's Tone Ibed Men Olam right away. So Rashi has to be Moide to the other Rishonim, that if it's Yisrael, not like Chametz or Avodah Zarah, that is Tone Ibed Men Olam. It's also Lekaimo, not only because of Chashash Takoli, may forget. It's also the kind of separate Isabel, you rabbi Motze, Eloyid Bak Biotchum, Yum and Acherim. Rashi agrees. That's Reb Loza's memory. That's Shnei Dvar Meine Bishusa. Either means Eina Shaloi, or it's Shaloi Veine Bishusa, one or the other. There is a Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Mem Hei, Omer Aleph. There's an institution, Chumash of Bishara Nisko. Shosha Hargas Adam is Chayb Skila. There's the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban. Whom are we punishing over here? So the Rambam writes in the Moreh Nevuchim that you're punishing the Balashor. The Behemoth doesn't have any seichel. The Behemoth killed the human being. So what, you're punishing the Behemoth? So he says, you're punishing the Bala Behemoth. That's why you give the Shor Skila. So the Ramban HaChumash at the end of Parshas Noach quotes the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim. He always quotes the Rambam with great respect, even when he disagrees strongly with the, even in Sefer HaMitzvos. A lot of times he disagrees strongly with the Rambam. He always quotes with the biggest respect. So the Ramban on Chumash, every so often quotes from the Rambam. Ramban on Chumash, Ened Parshas Noach, Miad Kol Chaya Ed Rishenu. So the Ramban says that the Rambam's statement that killing the Shor HaNiskal, Shor HaRoges Adam, is a punishment to the Baal HaShor is only Nitan LeHayomer, according to the Tana who holds that the Shor Hefker, Shor HaRoges Adam, is not Chayv Skila. But we don't pass like that. We pass in Shor HaMidbar, Shor Hefker, Shor HaRoges Adam is also Chayv Skila. And you also make a Gmar Din Lemisa and you give it Skila. So you see, it's not a punishment to the Baal HaShor, it's a punishment to the Shor. The Shor Zecha Behemi doesn't have Sechel to understand that there's an Aver to kill a human being. Says the animals have enough Sechel to know that they're not allowed to kill a human being. All the animals understand that Noach saved them. That's after the Mabul. Noach saved not only all of mankind, Noach saved all the behemoths. So they all have, they all sense a debt of gratitude to human beings. And all the animals understand that they're not allowed to kill a human being. So that's why when you make a Gemar Din on the Shor HaNiskal, that is, you get me. So it's a punishment to the Shor. The Ramban holds. It's not a punishment to the Baal HaShor, it's a punishment to the Shor. So the Gemara there in Bava Kama, Daf Mem Hei, Mem Dalan Mem Beis, Mem Hei Mem Alam. So the Gemara has a din. Shor HaNiskal, you need a Gemara din on the part of the Bezin, that it should be Ton Skila, that it should be Asaba Anoa. So the Gemara says, Kaidem Gemara din, if Macher and Macher, if the owner of the Shor, Shor HaRoges Adam, sells the Shor to someone else, Macher and Macher, the sale is Chal. Higdisha Mugdush, if he's Magdush, the Hegdush is Chal. But lachag madin, shor shenig madin alamisa, lachag madin. So then it says, mochar ein a mochar, hegdisha ein a mugdosh. It says that you don't have the ability to be magdashit, you don't have the ability to sell it. Why not? So the pashtus is that the gmardin of the bezdin on the shor haniskal makes it osabano. And an animal that's osabano, you can't, is either ein a shaloi or ein a bishusai. So therefore you can't be magdashit. And you can't be macherit. Macher ain't a macher, ikdish ain't a mugdash. So that's a question. There's no din by Shor HaNiskal. Shor HaNiskal is not like Chametz B'Pesach, that is Ba'irot by Matze. It's not like Avodah Zarah, Le'id Bak B'yot Chomim and Acherim. You should kill a Shor at the first available opportunity, but it's not the first second. No, Isabel Yerah by Matze. So Rashi should have said that a Shor HaNiskal, Rashi should have held, that a Shor HaNiskal, after the Gemar Din, is also Bahanoah, and therefore, if you're Mekadosh and Isha, it wouldn't be Chah, because not Shabbat Pruta. But you can't say that it's Eina Shaloi, Eina B'Shusa. Rashi seems to hold that Eina Shaloi, Eina B'Shusa is only by Chometz, or by Avodah Zarah, where it's Tone Ibed Men Olam immediately. It's also Lekaime, you're not allowed to hold it around the house. But aside from Avodah Zarah and Chametz, Reb Loza wouldn't say by all Yisrei HaNoah that Shnei Dvar Men and B'Shusa. You wouldn't say Ein Shalah Ein B'Shusa. It's only by Chametz and by Avodah Zarah. So what? How do you deal with the Gemara by Shor HaNiskal? It's not like Avodah Zarah, it's not like Chometz. And it still says, Mochar and Mochar, Igdish ain't a Mugdash. When are you going to say, you can't sell something that's less than a Shavah Pruta? There is no such thing. How do you know you can? How do you know you can transfer ownership of something? How do you know that there is ownership on something that less than a Shavah Pruta? How do you know you can transfer? You do have the ability to transfer ownership on something that's worth less than a Shavah Pruta. So I don't know. I don't even know if you need a raya, but I remember Rav Soloveitchik said he's going to bring us a raya that you can have ownership on something that's less than the Shavah Pruta, and you can transfer ownership because the Gemara says in Bov Metzia, when you make a kinyan suder, then you kinyan chalipin, you have to be kind of bikli. V'shala fishna aloi v'zos lefanim yisrael alagul v'alasmar v'shala fishna alo v'nosan l'reyeu. How do you translate na'al? Usually translate na'al means a shoe. The targum on that pasuk is shalof yishnala, na'al means a glove. That's a discussion. Why did the targum say na'al means a glove? Why didn't they say means a shoe? That's an interesting discussion also. Louis Ginsberg, who used to be in the Jewish Theological Seminary, has a bit of an essay on that. Why did the what motivated the targum to translate shalof yishnala means a glove? Why not say that it means a shoe? So he put out a set of quite a few volumes. Legends of the Jews. He puts together all the Midrashim and he has commentary on the Midrashim. So he thinks that the reason what motivated the Targum to translate Vishalav Hishnal means a glove, the Targum doesn't want anybody to think that it had something to do with Chalitza. There was no Chalitza taking place over here. The Ramban on the Torah says it had something to do with Chalitza Yibam. So Louis Ginsberg suggests that the reason why the Targum says Shalof Hishnal means a glove. He shouldn't think it had anything to do with chalitz. Okay, whatever. So the Gemara says, Nal means you have to give a kli. Kind of a kli, afal pishem b'shavaputa. When you make a kinyan suda, when you make what we call a kinyan chalipin, you have to give a kli shalem. You can't give a broken kli, even though it's a valuable thing, has to be a kli shalem, like a na'al. So the Gemara says, kind of a kli, you can make a kinyan chalipin, a kinyan suda with a kli, afal pi shem bo shavu puta. So you see that the kli, shem bo shavu puta, has ownership, it belongs to me, and I can transfer ownership to the other person. I give him the kli, but he's acquiring ownership of the kli, he's makna whatever, he's makna his house to me, or he's makna his automobile to me. That's how you make a kinyan chalipin. So you see that something that's not a shavu puta, both, there is bailus, there can be ownership, and the ownership can be transferred to another person. So that's the Shaila. So why does the Gemara say, according to Rashi, that Isiri Hanor are Shalom and are Bishusa, the only two that are not, either not Shalom or not Bishusa, are Chometz and Avodah Zarah, because it's Ton Ibed Men Oilem. It's a Din Bayirah Bay Matze. That's Rav Loza's statement. But all the other Isiri Hanor are Shalom and are Bishusa, the only thing is that it's not Shavu Puta, so that's why it's no good for Kiddushin. So if that's the whole chisor and not shavu puta, how come the Gemara says shara niskal lacha shenigma dino lemiso bez makes the gemar din is also banah? So it says mechora ena mocha egdisha ena mugdash. Why? Why can't you be magd to something that's worth less than a shavu puta? That's the kasha. So the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin daf pei on the base where the Rabbeinu Tam was bothered with the Rabbeinu Tam has a funny shita. An unusual opinion. Rabbeinu Tam holds that Shor HaNiskal Lacha Shenigma Dino is not Osabano Kolzman, it's alive. The Shor HaNiskal is only Osabano. Sokol Yisokol HaShor after you do the Skila V'lo Yochal Es Besora. After you do the Skila or if Shochtoi or if you shecht it or it dies a natural death, then it'll become Osman. But Kolzman, the Shor HaNiskal is still alive. You didn't do the Kima Enish yet. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's mutabano. So how does he read the Gemara? It says, "Mechara, if you mechara ehigdisho, you have a shara niskal after the Gemara din mechara ena mocha ehigdisho ena mugdosh. But if the bala shor sells the shor before the Gemara din, before the bez makes the Gemara din lemisa, and the shara niskal, then the Gemara says mechara mocha ehigdisho mugdosh. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, nothing changes at the moment of the Gemara din." It doesn't become asbano. It only becomes asbano if abdikain basar la yochales bisaray. While it's alive, it's not called basar. It's a live animal. It only becomes asbano after they gave the skila or after someone shechts it. After it's already dead, calls man it's alive is mutabano. So how do you read the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Memhei If Machara and Amacha Gdish and Mugdush after the Gmar Din Lamisa. So the Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos in Sanhedrin, that Pam and Beis asked that Kasha. And they say the Rabbeinu Tam understood Machara and Amacha doesn't mean that the sale is not valid. Gdish and Mugdush doesn't mean that Hegdish is not Chal. What it means is the Shor won't get off the hook. If the Bala Shor sells it, the sale is Chal. If the Bala Shor is Magdish, the Hegdish will be Chal. But because Bezdin already made a Gemar Din, so going to take away the Shor, he gave it to Hegdish. Bezdin's going to take away from Hegdish and give it the death penalty. Or if the Bala Shor sold it to a Lakeach, Bezdin's going to take away from the Lakeach and they take it away, they're going to give it the death penalty. It's not off the hook. If the Bala Shor sells it or is Magdish it before the Gemar Din, then Mechor HaMachor, then the Shor doesn't get Skila. Why shouldn't the Shor get Skila? That if you would have held it, it's Shaloi Kedin. Going to Rabbeinu Tam, that Gemara is Shaloi Kedin. The Mishnah and there in Bava Kama, Daf Mem Dalam and Beis, had the Machloikas. We mentioned the Ramban on Chumash at the end of Parshas Noach, and the Pasuk, Niyat Kol Chaya Ed Rishenu. Niyat Kol Chaya Ed Rishenu means that a Chaya that kills a human being will be punished for killing the human being, because the Chayas, the Ramban explained, the Chayas have enough Seichel to know they mustn't kill human beings. Chayas don't have enough Seichel to understand to be Shem HaShabbos, Kashvas, Taras HaMishpacha, Eloi Zigzal, that they don't understand. But they have enough Seichel, the Ramban claims they have enough Seichel to understand to be Makhid Taibet to the human beings, not to kill the human beings. So the Ramban on that Pasuk quotes this Machleg Zabuda Nachachamim by Shor Hefker, Shor HaMidbar. Shor HaMidbar, Shoharga Sa'odam. Do you give it skila or not? So Rabbi Yudah holds no. Rabbi Yudah holds that Shor HaMidbar, it's the giving of the death penalty is a punishment to the Bala Shor, like the Rambam wrote in the Mor Nevuchim. So if the Shor doesn't have any Bailim, then you don't give the death penalty. You don't give the Einish Misa. And even if the Shor had a Bailim, but the Bailim sells the Shor in between the Shor kills an Odom, and the Bailim sells the Shor before Bezna had a chance to make the Gmar Din Lamisa. So according to Rabbi Yudah, you can't make the Gmar Din Lamisa. You have to have the same Bailim. It has to be the same person owning it from the beginning to the end. So if Mechoro, Mochur, Igdisha Mugdosh, if the Bala Shor sells the Shor or is Magdish the Shor before Bezna had a chance to make the Gmar Din Lamisa, then Mugdosh means the Hegdish is Chal and the Shor is off the hook. Because you only give the Shor the Misa if it had the same Bailam Metchila Ve'atzof, from the Negicha to the Gemar Din. But if after Bezdin already made the Gemar Din Lemisa, the Mechorei Nemocha Yigdish and Mugdash, so Rabbi Natam says, it doesn't mean that the Mechira is not Chal. Why should the Mechira not be Chal? Rabbi Natam holds that it's Muta Bahano. Shor Aniska Mechaim is Muta Bahano. It only becomes Osmano when it's in the state of Basar. Because man is alive, you don't call it Basar. He says, Mechor and Emocha means the Shor won't be potter from the Misa. The Mechira will be Chal, the Hegdish will be Chal, but it won't affect the change. The Bez is going to take away the Shor from Hegdish and I'll give it the death penalty. Or take away the Shor from the Lekech and give it the death penalty. That's what it means, Mechor and Emocha. So it could be that that's what Rashi would understand also. Because Rashi holds that whatever that means, that's only by Chomis and Avodah Zar. When it's on Ibid, Menodah Miyad, but by Orlok, like Karen, Bas Becholok, Chulim Bazara, say Nazir, Petach Amar, all the whole long list of all the Yisrael Noam, all the other Yisrael Noam, Rashi holds their Rabbi Shusai. The only thing is that it's no good for Kedushin because it's not Shabbat Pruta, because you're not allowed to, you know. Shabbos is Kamahu Shavalim Kabashuk. So since he's not allowed to sell it, because Zosaban knows it's not Shavalim Kabashuk anything. So this is a very important line in the Gemara. This is a big topic. In Sukkah and Rishonim, when you want to have, on the first 2 days of Sukkah, you need Lakachtam Lachem Ishalachem. So the Gemara says that in Esrog Shal Orlo is Zosaban, no? So it's not Shalachem. Why is it not Shalachem? So some Rishonim say, because he's a Rehanoah, and not Shalom. Others say, no, it is Shalom, but it's not Shavu Pruta. So it's not Shavu Pruta, therefore it's not called Shalachem. According to Rashi, that all these Rehanoah are Shalachem, it's Shalom Yabushusa. The only thing is that it's not Shavu Pruta. So for Kiddushin, I understand the Mishnah at the end of the second parak in Kiddushin. If you have Mekadosh and Isha with the Rehanoah, So it's you gave her less than a shavuputa because not shavuim kabashuk anything, but for the lulav and the esrig on the first 2 days in each alachem, first day in each alachem and atar, the second day only in each alachem and their abonat sveka diyama. So you need shalachem. So what's wrong with pachis mishavuputa? So that's a chiddush that Rashi holds over there. Rashi holds in order to be considered shalachem, just like there's a shear for kiddushin, that it's only good for kiddushin if it's shavuputa. Whenever a mitzvah requires shalachem, it has to be worth a shavuputa. I mean, Haschinach talks about that Rashi. It's a Rashi in a few places in Sukkah, Masechah Sukkah, that in order to be considered shalachem for the purposes of fulfilling a mitzvah, whenever you need shalachem, dalin minim, first 2 days in each shalachem, has to be shavuputa. So then Haschinach is bothered with the kasha, now you want a good arava, they charge you $5 for one arava, a packaged arava. But the Minchas Chinuch says, the arava, you can get 100 for a penny. So each arava is pachas mishavuputa. So he's bothered with a kasha. How are you yotzei the dalad minim on the first 2 days of Sukkot in each shalachem? According to Rashi, whatever is worth less than a shavuputa is not called shalachem for mitzvah purposes. So how is the arava called shalachem? So the pashtus to the teretz, so now the merchants of dalad minim are so concerned about the Minchas Chinuch kasha, that's why they charge $5 for every arava to make sure that it's shalachem. They want to be mizake everybody to make sure that there's no kasha for the Minchas Chinuch. The aravas are worth more than a shavuputa. But the pashtus is, the teretz is, you don't need that the arava should be a shavuputa. The dalad minim should be lulav ama'akvim zeh. So if the esrog, the lulav, the hadasim, and the aravos all together, it's worth a shavuputa. That nothing is worth a shavuputa. The aravos are cheap. You can find them all over the hefker. But the esrog does cost money. The esrog, the lulav, all together, the whole thing is worth a shavuputa. Then it's good enough. It doesn't have to be the Minchas Chinuch. When he has the kasha, he's working on the assumption that the aravos have to be shavuputa. Why only the aravos? The dalminim shabululav amakvim zezeh. So according to Rashi, that you need a sheer shavius of a shavuputa, that it should be called shalachem for the purposes of fulfilling the mitzvah. So it should be enough if it's should be enough if it's the whole thing together, all the dalminim together are a shavuputa. So this is a very famous gemara. Shnei dvar menim b'shusa shalan masan hakasa ki lahem b'shusa. There is an interesting topic that was brought up by the Nerdy Behuda in his Tshuvas. And when you look in Hilchas Pesach, when you look in Orach Chaim, you look in the Gemara, Rashi is on the inside, Tosfos is on the outside. You look in Orach Chaim, the Taz is on the inside, and the Magen Avraham is on the outside. And in Hilchas Pesach, and the big Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the page, you have the Chok Yankiv. So the Nadi Yehuda discusses this in his Tshuvas, and the Chok Yankiv discusses also the following situation. Let's say the parents are not observant and the children are observant. They're probably true. The children are observant. So the parents have a house full of chametz and pesach. The children, what can they do? They live at home. They'll get married and they'll have a kosher home. They won't have chametz. So the father dies in the middle of Pesach. So does the chametz go birusha to the children? And the children have to run immediately to destroy the chametz, let's say chalamai. They have to run right away in order not to violate bayura by matzeh, and have to destroy the chametz. Or maybe I should say shnei dvar meinim b'shusa shaladam. The chametz maybe is zeinu shaloi. Some rishonim held chametz is zeinu shaloi, not just zeinu b'shusa. Chametz zeinu shaloi. Let's say they stole my car, and then I die before I retrieve the car. So the car goes birusha to my children. Just because they ain't a shalai, just because it's ain't a bishusi, is no reason that it shouldn't go birusha. If it'll be ain't a shali, it doesn't go birusha. But whatever shali, even though it's stolen, even if it's lost, even if it's ain't a bishusi, but it goes birusha. So let's say, how do you translate? Shnei dvarim, the chametz b'pesach, is ain't a shalai, or it's ain't a bishusi? So that was a b'feirish and machlekes of rishonim. So some rishonim hold chametz is ain't a shalai. Some Mishanim hold all this around, or some Mishanim hold only Chametz and Avodah Zarah, because Ton Ibid Min Olam. So if you hold the Chametz and Zeinu Shaloi, what does it mean? Vasan Hakasu Kilu Heim Bishusai. So the Nerdy Behuda assumes what it means is that the person has a kinyan iser on the chametz. He doesn't have a kinyan mamon, he has a kinyan iser. Where does this terminology come from? There's a concept kinyan mamon and there's a concept kinyan iser. So this, everybody heard of the Ktzos HaChoshen. Ktzos HaChoshen is a sefer on Choshen Mishpat printed on the bottom of the page. And the Nesivos lived the same time they were contemporary. The Nesivos has a lot of hasagas. He disagrees a lot with the Ktzos HaChoshen. So just like the Ktzos, hard to say just like, the same author who wrote the Ktzos HaChoshen, HaChoshen Mishpat, also wrote a sefer Avne Miluim on Eben Harez. You can't say just like so too, because the Ktzos HaChoshen is much better than the Avne Miluim. Avne Miluim is a lot of times he'll quote and he'll quote and quote and he doesn't say anything original. He just collects all the different mefarshim. It's not as well written at all. The Ktzos is really polished and the Avne Miluim on Eben Ezra is weaker. So anyway, the Avne Miluim is a commentary simon by simon on Eben Ezra. In the end of the whole sefer, Avne Miluim has a few shadus and tshuvas. Most of them are not shadus and tshuvas that actually came up. Most of them are just essays on halacha topic, like the Shagas Aryeh. The Shadas HaTshuvas, they're not Shadas that came up halacha l'maisa. Shagas Aryeh HaChadoshes, those are Shadas that came up halacha l'maisa. But the regular Shagas Aryeh, the first volume of the Shagas Aryeh, Chelek Rishon, these are not really Shadas that came up, they're essays. So one of the essays that's in the end of the Sefer Avne Miluim by the author of the Ktzos HaChoshen is on this topic of Kinyan Mamon and Kinyan Issa. So he quotes the Ramban on Kiddushin and Daf Yud Zayin and the Ritvo, a lot of Rishonim. When you own an Eved Knaini, if I'm a Kohen, I can eat Truma. Eved Knaini shall coin his Lechel the Truma. So my ownership of an Eved Knaini has relevance not only in the area of Dinim Amenis. Usually ownership is relevant in Dinim Amenis and Chosh Mishpat. Here, my owning the Eved Knaini has relevance in Yerudeya. Not only is the kohen, the owner, permitted to eat truma, the kohen shel kohen is also permitted to eat truma. So that's what we call a kinyan isa. What else do we call a kinyan isa? The Gemara has on the first off in Perek Ha'oral. Ha'oral is in Perek in Maseches Yevamos. I think it starts from Daf Ayin. So in the first Amud Beis, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, the Gemara has a din in Perek Ha'oral in Yevamos. And Eved Knaini cannot become a muna on a Korban Pesach without authorization from his Adon. And Eved Ivri is a free man. Eved Ivri can become a Muna on the Korban Pesach. He's all on his own. His Adon cannot prevent him, cannot force him to eat from his Korban Pesach, cannot prevent him from becoming Muna on someone else's Korban Pesach. He's not a Balabas. So the Gemara understands that when you own an Eved Knaini, you have both a Kinyan Mamon and a Kinyan Issa. What about when you own an Eved Ivri? So Tosus is of the opinion that neither din applies to Eved Ivri. The Eved Ivri can become a Muna on the Korban Pesach all on his own. He does not need authorization from his Adon. And the Eved Ivri shall coin his Erechel Betruma. The Pasuk says, Tosha B'Sachir lo Yechel Bo. Tosha B'Sachir means an Eved Ivri shall coin, whether he's an Eved Nirtza after Sheish, or an Eved Toch Sheish, neither is Echel B'Tshuma. So since both of the dinim don't apply to the Eved Ivri, the Tosafot understood it more. When you own an Eved Ivri, you only own a Kinyan Mamon. He has to give you services for the next 6 years, but there's no Kinyan Issa. It doesn't affect any change in Issa V'Heta. But if you own an Eved Kinyan, then it's both a Kinyan Mamon and a Kinyan Issa. And the Ramban and the Ritvo, Talmidim of the Ramban, they hold that even by Eved Ivri, there's also Kinyan Issa. The Kinyan Issa is not relevant with respect to becoming Mamuna on the Korban Pesach, nor relevant with respect to eating Truma, but it is relevant with respect to his Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis. Eved Ivri is Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis. Usually we assume the Issa Shivcha Knainis is an Issa Deraisa. It's a strange Rambam, but the Rambam writes Issa Shivcha Knainis is only the Rabbanan. It's only B'Divreim. And he says, "Val he oven ze kal b'enechem." He shouldn't think that it's a light iser, because Unkelus Hager translates on the pasuk la'ia kodesh b'meneisa le'siy kadesh b'meneis Yisrael, that the pasuk goes on a Jewish woman living with an eved knaini, or a Jewish man living with a shivcha knainis. The Targ Monklas puts it into the pasuk as if it were an Issa deraisa. The Rama holds that it's only midirabbanan. To live with a shivchakneinis, to live with an evitaini is an Issa deraban. But Pashtus in the Gemara is against that Rambam. That's a problematic Rambam. Pashtus is that the Issa to live with a shivchakneinis and evitaini is an Issa deraisa. And nonetheless, an evitaini is muta b'shivchakneinis. So the Ramban and the Ritva hold that shows that even by Eved Ibid is also both a Kenyan Mom and not a Kenyan Issa. And Taisa disagrees, and Taisa says, no, it's only a Kenyan. It's only a Kenyan Mom. There's no Kenyan Issa. And they give an explanation why. Why doesn't that then, the fact that it Eved Ibid is Mutta B'Shiv Chaknan, doesn't that itself indicate that there is a difference in Issa Beheta because of the fact that he's my Eved Ibid? So it doesn't show that there is a Kenyan Issa. So Taisa gives an explanation why it doesn't show. So there's a concept of Kenyan Mammon, that's Choshen Mishpat. Then there's another concept of Kenyan Issa. So Nadav Yehuda raises the possibility, maybe Chometz B'Pesach, Eina B'Shusa, maybe some of the Rishonim say it's Eina Shaloi. Doesn't belong to you. Not that it's Eina B'Shusa. The Ksois didn't like that. Ksois thought that Eina B'Shusa. But half of the Rishonim learned Eina Shaloi. Just like Bar B'Shusa Rav is Eina Shaloi, so Chometz B'Pesach is literally enishaloi. Vason hakosu kila him b'shusay, but the Torah declares that you have a kinyan iser on your chametz. So the Nadav Yehuda wants to know what's the din. The parents are not observant, and the children are bali tshuva. So the parents die in the middle of Pesach. Does the chametz go b'yerusha to the children? Maybe yerusha is only chal on kinyan mamet. Maybe there's no yerusha on kinyan iser. That's a loshan gemara in Gittin. Isur lamari sinish lebrei. The Gemara at one point says like that, Yisura Lamori Sinish Libre. You can only transfer to the children. You transmit Yerusha to the children if it's a, you have a Kenyan moment. But Chometz B'Pesach is Zaina B'Shusa Shalai, that means Zaina Shalai. Asan HaKosu Kila in B'Shusa, the Torah considers it that you have a Kenyan Iser, only a Kenyan Iser on the Chometz. And that's why you violate Bal Yeroi by Motz. They say maybe Kenyan Iser don't go B'Yerusha to the children. So that was a big debate in the Achronim, the Nadav Yehuda, but the Chagankiv, and there's a whole literature on that topic. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here for today. Maybe tomorrow we'll discuss a little bit. Where did they get the mocker for this idea that a Kenyan Issa doesn't go Birusha? Only Kenyani Mammon go Birusha. Whatever you own based on Chosha Mishpat goes Birusha. Dinam of Birusha in the end of Chosha Mishpat. You have a Kenyan Issa, that's from Yerideya. So things in Yerideya don't go Birusha. Where is that Gemara? So that's a Gemara in the middle of Gittin. So maybe we'll discuss that, and then we'll continue with the next Daf Gemara. Okay.
All right.